C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's the season of giving, charitable giving, that is. And while it's great to be generous just for generosity's sake, donating to charity can also come with significant tax benefits. And this year, the benefits are open to more people than usual.
This year, and only for this year, single people can deduct $300 of qualified charitable donations, and couples can deduct $600 of qualified charitable donations.
Coming up, our tax reporter Laura Saunders will be here to discuss how to claim tax deductions for donated cash, stock, or even cryptocurrency. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Charitable donations are a great way of supporting a cause you believe in. They're also a widely used way of driving down your tax bill. But there are some key rule changes this year that could lead to bigger benefits, meaning a smaller tax bill, for people who might not normally get a deduction. WSJ tax reporter Laura Saunders is here to walk us through them. Laura, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Laura, let's do a little charitable donations 101 for a moment. What are some of the reasons why donations matter for your taxes?
The thing is, most people are charitable, especially around the end of the year. When you make a charitable contribution that's qualified, that's deducted from your taxable income, and that causes you to owe less income tax. And in some cases, you get a deduction, in some cases, you don't. And so you want Uncle Sam to share the deduction with you, to pick up part of the cost of it.
You know, a lot of the time, charitable donations benefit large donors the most. But what about the rest of us? Are there any benefits your average donor should know about this year?
This year, and only for this year, single people can deduct $300 of qualified charitable donations, and couples can deduct $600 of qualified charitable donations, even if they don't itemize on Schedule A. That's really important because most of the time you need to itemize deductions for home mortgage or state taxes or charitable deductions on Schedule A.
Now, a moment ago, you mentioned the need for a donation to be a qualified contribution. What does that mean?
It means it's to a qualified charity, and a qualified charity, for most cases, for most of the time, for our readers, is a public charity. That's what you think of, your church, the Girl Scouts, your college, things like that. There are other rules for private foundation gifts and things like that.
Now, in order to get these $300 or $600 deductions, does the donation have to be in a certain form?
It has to be a cash donation. It can't be donations of your used clothing and things like that. You can do that separately, but that's not what this is about. It has to be a cash donation. Well, what is cash? Cash is a check. It's a debit card payment, a credit card payment, or an electronic funds transfer.
Okay, got it. So when it comes time to do your taxes, will you have to hunt down the right spot for this on your tax form?
Oh, no, it's right on the tax form. That won't be a problem. But you do need to have the right substantiation, that is the right proof that you made these donations. Often that means you need a letter from the charity saying what you gave to them and also deducting the value of significant benefits that you got, like a tote bag stuffed with goodies, things like that.
Okay, so that's for people who don't itemize the donations on their tax form. But let's talk now about people who do itemize. What kinds of benefits can they take advantage of?
Oh, well, they have some of the best benefits in the whole tax code. If you have an appreciated asset that you're donating, like say you have some stock you've held for a really long time. Now, if you've sold the stock and made the donation from the cash proceeds, you owe tax on it first, and then you get a deduction. However, if you donate those shares directly to the charity, or even to a donor advised fund, then you get a deduction for the full fair market value, and you don't have to pay any tax on the appreciation. It's an amazing benefit. one reminder is that people who want to do this need to move quickly before the end of the year, because you probably have to call your broker and your broker has to make the arrangement. And so that may not all happen if you do it on December 31st.
Oh, okay. So the clock is ticking. And now you mentioned people could either donate an asset to a charity or a donor advised fund. What is that? And why is it significant?
Well, they're very interesting and they can be extremely convenient for donors. What happens is if you want to donate to charity and you don't exactly know where you want it to go yet, you can give it to these large donor advised funds like Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, and other local community foundations and things like that. And you can take a full deduction in the year you donate the money. But you don't have to say where the money's going yet. You get the donation the year you do it, and then the donor advised fund sells it. They put money in a dedicated account for you, and later on you say, please give X amount to my church and X amount to my college, and so forth.
Okay, so all that involves stock, but are the rules any different for wanting to donate, let's say, cryptocurrency?
Well, that's a great question, and the reason is that the rules are the same and different. And the same because you can get a full deduction for the fair market value of that crypto without paying tax on it. And so it's kind of like appreciated stock. However, what's different? Well, if you give a large amount of appreciated stock, say over $5,000, if it's publicly traded, you don't have to worry about appraisals. But with cryptocurrency, you have to get a qualified appraisal if you want to deduct more than $5,000. And this is going to trip up a lot of people next year because crypto donors are known for being very generous.
Why would someone need an appraisal for their crypto donation?
Well, it's not in the same category in the law as something like a publicly traded stock. If you donate shares of Exxon or Facebook, then everybody knows what the value is. But if you're donating crypto, it's much more like an asset like land or a painting or something like that. And so you need to prove to the IRS what the value of it was, if it's over $5,000.
Now, how about making donations from something else, like a retirement fund? What should retirees know about making year-end donations?
Well, there's a wonderful special benefit. Basically, when you get to be 72, if you have IRAs and 401k money and things like that, but mostly it's usually in IRAs, people have to take money out when they get to be 72. There's an annual distribution every year. Now, the tax law allows up to $100,000 of that annual distribution to go directly to a charity and reduce your annual distribution. So say that your distribution is $50,000 and say that you make contributions directly from the assets to the charity of $5,000 to two charities. You only have to take out $40,000 and then the two $5,000 gifts go to the charities and you've satisfied your requirement. Now, do you get a deduction? No, you don't, but you might get something even better because the donations satisfy your charitable intent, but they also don't raise your adjusted gross income, and that can lower taxes in other ways. It could keep you out of paying higher income-based Medicare premiums or net investment income tax. I think a lot of charitably inclined retirees that know about this think it's just a wonderful benefit.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Laura Saunders. Laura, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from the Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.